Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Production presents Black Urban America. If you have any questions, you may dial 909-265-9215, or you just want to join in the conversation. Now, on Saturdays, we have...
Hold it now!
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. The music came on too early and too late. I don't know. It didn't come on when it was supposed to. So I just went on. Saturdays, we have Provocative Thought with Carter Sneed that come on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Wednesday, we had Elephant in the Room by Jaka Zulu, a.k.a. Jermaine Harrison. Okay, he come on Wednesday at 8 p.m. On second Tuesday each month, we have Healthy Relationships, which will be next week, with Ann Dillon. And on every Thursday, every third Tuesday, we have Calm Down and Let's Discuss Racism with T. Nathan and his group. And started this month, every fourth Tuesday, we will have Mr. Donald Scoggins that will be talking about different political issues. Tonight, we have a guest that have his own perceptions. Matter of fact, he have his own group called Race and Equality and Solutions USA, which I send links every week, see copies of the show every single week. And that's why I finally invited him to come as a guest. And he will be discussing his own theory on solution in the African community, on which involves African spirituality. And in fact, he actually, well, they call me Dr. B. I say, I know, man. I see you all the time when I come to your site. So welcome, Dr. B.
Appreciate it, King. Glad to be on your show. As always, you're a positive brother, and I always welcome being in the company of brothers like yourself.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to finally have you on the show.
It's a pleasure. I follow you. Like I say, you've been on my pages. I'm always following what you do, man, and I ain't seen not one thing that you haven't done that's not uplifting to the Black community. And to that, I give you kudos and commend.
Well, Dr. B, you know, I'm actually what you call a serious inclusionist. I believe that we should look at all perspectives. I believe that we should look at all views. Now, I'm not going to say every person I have one I agree with, and everything. I'm not going to say that. But, But it's like, you know, we're not monolithic people. We had different strategies. We had different theories, you know, on how to tackle problems in our communities. And I feel that even that we are in the millennium area, we still have some serious, serious issues affecting our people.
I agree with that. You know, I was talking with a gentleman 2 days ago. I don't know if you know, I also own a university, Dr. D University. So, and I've been teaching for over 37 years. I've been teaching for over 37 years. And I've heard, you know, a lot of different things. And he was talking to me, and we was going back and forth with the word black. And he was saying, King, he said, I don't like the word black because it has the word lack in it. I said, but you missed the B in front of lack. That means beyond lack, my brother. So when you're referring to black in the true sense and you learn to live beyond black, then you should be proud of being black, because being black in your original understanding all the way back to ancient Kemet and the Nile Valley didn't even refer to color. It referred to the ability to live beyond lack and limitation. And them brothers knew how to do that back then.
And back then, it wasn't because we was all the same color on the Nile Valley. It was about what group you're from. I'm Kenny from New York. I'm Kenny from Georgia. I'm Kenny from California. You know, it was like, what group are you from? Because, like, it was different groups. Mm-hmm. And now you had the Crown people. You had the Hebrew. You had all different types of people in the Nile Valley.
That's so true. You beyond thinking. I've been there. Like I said, I'm a scholar. I teach it at the highest level. And one thing I can tell you, the one thing that the original people, our people, knew was that it even went beyond tribes and cultures and groups. Because, see, what people don't understand, when you're talking about African spirituality, you're talking about what existed even before man. You see what I'm saying?
Where do you get your concepts? Where do you get your fundamental concept from? Who are the books? When I go to the bookstore, like I'm looking for Dr. Ben or Dr. Clark or Amos
or Dr. Ben
or some new cats. It's a new cat that's coming on the scene. Like, who do you go to?
Okay, let me say this. In my early days, I went to Dr. Ben. You know, I went to Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, all the master teachers of the black
heavy
culture.
Cat.
You know, all
heavy
you cat. Name them. You name them all. Oh, come on now. They came before Columbus, the stolen legacy.
Uh-huh.
You can go all the way back, Dr. James, you know, all of them. But at a point, as a professor, you'll reach a point where you got to even go beyond the book. Please hear what I'm going to say, because I'm going to go to a deep, deep, deep place that a lot of people don't understand. And I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to pose a question. I'm going to get you to think about it. When we're dealing with knowledge, the word knowledge, a lot of people don't know, it has an ending point. Knowledge means there's an ending to it, knowledge. A lot of people don't look at words and they're not wordsmiths. So when they look at words, they think, well, I need knowledge. And then I tell them, well, if you read the ancient comedic sciences, so you look at the symbols, it never uplifted knowledge as being the supreme understanding or overstanding. Because knowledge is good in a limited perspective, if you follow me, King. Knowledge is limited.
I'm following.
And let me say this. It's just like whatever you learned yesterday, that's yesterday. But today may present a whole new set of challenges and situations. How can yesterday know today, King? How can it know it? How? How? Because
it's evolving.
So what people don't understand is what those ancient masters, I'm talking about the ones that taught the oral tradition. I don't know if you know about that. That's way before the hieroglyphs, the Metaneta, That's before the written pyramid text, before all of the Rosetta Stone. The main way that they communicated was the oral tradition. A lot of people don't know that. Why?
Well, most of our African communities, most of our African cultures back in ancient times, we were oral people.
That's it. That's correct. Exactly.
Before
that's all we knew.
Before we start telling our stories on the walls, the cave, whatever, we were oral people that passed down through just, matter of fact, I don't know if I'm on the right track or not. Each village had a person that was responsible for the historical oral passing down generation to generation. And he was responsible for training another to keep it going.
See, you're on it, brother. Hey, kudos. Hey, don't let me go and get an amen corner side of this. But let me say this. You're right. And what a lot of people don't realize is that those orators were the African priests, because the African priests was the ones that had that esoteric knowledge that they were able to transcribe into symbols, not words. Because, you know, the original language was not words. It was hieroglyphs, was symbols. Because if anybody knows anything about psychology, you know the mind doesn't function in words, it functions in pictures. Mm-hmm. So they were the original psychologists because they understood the highest meta language, which means that which goes beyond the physical. Meta is also a derivative of the word metaphysics. You know, so what people don't understand is these guys, man, they knew how to move and do things without might or power. When I say might, see, all that our people know, and the one reason that we don't reach solutions is we have lowered and dumbed it down to the point where we don't know how to work from spirit. Oh, brother, I don't know if you're riding with me, man. We done got to a point where we don't know where spirit fits in the equation because we don't know spirit. And what we're calling spirit, even consciousness, ain't even consciousness no more, okay? Ain't even conscious. Because everybody's conscious of something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that the ancients talked about is consciousness. Let me go into that for a minute, King, because I know you enjoyed it. For an example, we're awake right now, right?
Right.
We call this the conscious state.
Right.
Okay, but guess what? But there's something that's conscious of us being conscious in the conscious state. Are you with me, Kane?
I'm following you.
Now when you go to sleep tonight, you're in what they call the sleeping consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that's aware that you're sleeping. Follow me, Kane, because I'm ready to go deep.
I'm following you.
When you dream, you're in what they call dreaming consciousness. But there's something aware that you're dreaming. Now follow this. If somebody is just aware when they're conscious, but when they go to sleep, are they still aware that, of the waking consciousness? No, they're not, because they went to sleep.
Right.
And when they're dreaming, and they're not aware of the sleeping and the conscious state. So they're moving from one state of consciousness into another state of consciousness into another state of consciousness, but they're not in the state of consciousness that's aware of all states of consciousness. Are you riding with me, King?
Yes. You're saying, in other words, our people are still sleeping. And
they
have
still
not
sleeping.
Really arise to the state of consciousness to address the issues in a manner that needs to be addressed.
Come on, man. That's the point. Because they think, oh, I'm awake. I'm conscious. Okay, no, you're not. You're conscious to one particular state of consciousness. Okay, you're dreaming. See, a lot of people, you know, when you're dreaming, you think it's real, don't you? Until you wake up.
Yeah.
As long as you're dreaming, you think it's real when you're in that dreaming state. Then when you wake up, you say, oh, I was just dreaming. But how did you know you were dreaming? When you woke up, you didn't know it when you were dreaming. So you went from one state of consciousness into another state of consciousness. But this is where our people are failing, saying they woke. But you're not at that state of consciousness that never enters into waking, sleeping, or dreaming state. That consciousness sits behind and witnesses everything, the changing state, because it's the one state that don't never change. Power can feel that.
Well, but let me ask you this. Bringing our people into the level of consciousness state that we need to be in order to address these issues, what do we have to get rid of? What do we have to throw away? What do we have to, like,
eliminate?
How can I say, get rid of? You know, do we have to get rid of thinking like Westerners? Do we have to get rid of trying to be like another culture that really don't want us? Or do we have to really become so conscious of us that we have to find some type of self-identification as a group? I mean, what do we have to get rid of?
Okay, I like the way that you presented that, because you opened the door. They made it very easy for me to go there. And African spirituality deals with this. Let me hit this head on. Because a lot of people, when you hear the word African spirituality, you know, the first thing people think is color. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Right.
That's the first thing people think. Let me tell you something that they don't get. African spirituality deals with the motherland of spirituality. That's why when you hear Africa is the motherland of all religion, of all spirituality, what they're not getting is African spirituality is that which taps into the very heart of what spirituality is. Now, let me say that. When you understand spirituality, you realize that is an infinite, that's an infinite reality. That's an infinite reality. Without limit, without bounds, it's infinite. And when you come
from
that place, yes, come on. It's the universe and it's infinite. And it has no hierarchy, high, low, high, because it is the source of everything. And what I tell my people is, until you understand that, working from body, working from mind is finite. People don't get that. They're trying to do everything from a physical level and a mental level, but those not the highest levels. There are finite, dualistic levels. The highest level is non-dualistic. Are you riding with me, King?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not reaching non-duality. So we're divided, not even among our people. We're divided spiritually because we ain't even at the infinite level that always existed that we refer to as the Nun or refer to as the Amun.
Amun.
The Amun.
The question I want to ask you before you go there, hold that.
Yeah.
Hold that.
Okay.
You're coming
okay.
back to the Amun. The question was, why aren't we able to reach that level? What is preventing us to reach that level? But or can I put it another way?
I love what you're doing, man.
Can we reach that level?
Yes. Yes. Let me tell you what happened. Let's go back to when we were born. This is the best way to get it. When we're born, from the time we're a child, depending on where we're born, it doesn't matter. We are not, unless we just happen to be around family members or fathers or mothers or uncles or ancestors that teach us the Amun, the Nun. We fall into the programming of this world. You know that, Cain. So we don't know what existed prior to our manifestation when we was in an unmanifested state, which is the primordial waters of spirit itself. You following me? We don't know
right.
that. So we've lost that. We've lost that. So what we do, we come here, and most of us that's in America are born into a westernized psychological programming in which we naturally fall from their educational system, their indoctrination, their programming. So guess what we learn? We learn a whole system that has nothing to do with our Amun Ra. Nothing doesn't have nothing to do with knowing yourself.
Moon
Ra. It has something to do
Moon
with
Ra.
Yeah. Yeah. It has everything to know. It has everything to do with man, Caesar,
Hold up, Dr. B. We have a lot of, I don't want to say so-called, because that's disrespectful. We have a lot of people that label themselves as consciousness people that are in the educational system. They are.
I know.
They are. They're starting schools, a charter school. They are principals. They're superintendents, and they are teachers. You mean to tell me that our curriculum cannot be inclusive of this? If we have conscious people, I don't want to say so-called, but conscious people that are in the on the administrative level?
I'm going to make it very simple. I'm going to ask you a question. How can you use time to understand the timeless, my brother? How can you do it? How can you use movement to understand stillness, my brother? You can't. They're opposing. See, what's happening is this. They're not understanding. If you don't understand the source, you're already lost. So if you are born into a system, that's teaching you sociology before it's teaching you spirituality, you can forget it. But let me tell you why. Listen to this. King, you know every social group is just a number of people. Am I right?
Right.
When you break it down to its common denominator, it's the individual. So individuals make up sociology, correct?
Right.
So why are we trying to...
Brother, be careful. Dr. B, be nice.
I know where I'm going.
Be nice.
I know, but I got to be truthful. I got to reveal the truth.
I'm very critical.
I know you're feeling me.
Man. Go ahead. Doggers.
I know you're feeling me. I know you're feeling me. My father has a PhD in sociology. We've had this a long time. I said, look, how are you going to fix a people with sociology when sociology is just a group of individuals? So until you fix the individual in
culture.
The sociology, come on, you can't fix the culture. You can't fix
the
society
community.
Until you deal with the least common denominator. Look, if you got 100 dummies, you got a unified dummy, okay? Because all of them don't know. None of them are conscious. So you hear how people saying, we got to unify, and they get mad at me. I said, what happened with Harriet Tubman? She didn't run to all the other slaves and say we need to unify because she knew they weren't ready to be free. Come on, brother. Sometimes we got to look at reality and quit dreaming. Sometimes it starts with one. It starts with one, and then when they see that one succeed, now the other one's ready to jump on board. You know where I'm coming from. You know where I'm coming from. And so even though we talk this story, we need to unify, or we need to come together, sounds good. Okay, but if I unify 100 dummies, what I got, Keith? If I unify 100 people that don't know anything, what do I have?
It's
I got
zero.
Numbers of dummies.
It's zero.
I got zero. Come on.
Or check this, Dr. B. Or check this. If you look at our American, our Black American history, we're doing the same thing
now.
All the different things. I shouldn't say that, but
be unapologetically truthful, because you know it's true. You know it's true. You know when we get indoctrinated. And I remember I had a hard time going through even high school because I'm Native American and Black. But I tell people the Native American came from Black, so Black is the end result. Hello, somebody. Let's say this. Any color can come out of Black, but you can't get any color out of white. But we're going to leave that alone. I'm going to go here. If you want to teach me something, how can you teach me something when you're not the originator of that something? How? If you're not the source of it, you're going to be a middleman. And a middleman is going to give you finite understanding. And that's why we are having the problems we're having now. They say, well, we got free will. I said, how does a rat have free will if he's living within a box? He got free will within that box, but that still ain't freedom because he can only move within that square. You follow what I'm saying? True free will has to start with freedom. And freedom is the domain of freedom. And the only domain of freedom I know, brother, is spirituality. And until you get there, you don't level the playing field. You can't play on another man's field where he wrote all the rules and think you're going to come out a winner. It ain't going to work. You got to get beyond that to a place where the playing field is level. And the only way we can
Dr. B, the only way you can level the playing field Now, I want to say this while saying this is my perception, but there are people that feel the only way to level the playing field is to get away from that culture and have your own, and maybe you could implement this African spirituality in our own school system, in our own curriculum, where it could be a representative of us or who we are. And maybe that could infiltrate down to the families in the homes. And maybe, and just maybe, it could develop healthy relationship between the black man and the black woman.
I agree with you, but I'm going to tell you, do you not know it's already been done? Let me explain. I'm going to explain it to you this way. But it's been done sporadic and spottedly, and so people don't recognize it. See, we're the type of people that if we did an experiment, so let's just say it's on fat loss, and let's say 10 people are in the test group, right? Let me tell you how people are. Let's say 9 of them fail and 1 of them succeeded. See, they'll conclude, well, see, if you follow it this way, now it's 90% failure. So I don't see it that way. Well, I'm going to look at this for one that succeeded. And guess what I'm going to say? See, a different perspective. If you do it this way, you'll get 100% result. Pow! Same situation. But I didn't look at the 9 failures. I looked at that one. Let's go back in somebody that we're well familiar with, that we know. Great woman.
Oh, now you look at that. Now you're screwing with the statistical numbers there, Dr. B.
Come on, brother. You know why? Because I'm doing it sacred. You know why? Because I'm dealing in sacred mathematics. I'm dealing in sacred mathematics now. I'm dealing in sacred mathematics. Sacred mathematics transcends man's number. Everything came out of one, all. Everything came out of one. We forget that. The multiplicity didn't make the multiplicity. Hello, somebody. The unity made the multiplicity. Out of Amun Ra, we got Noon and we got Nut and we got all these other things. But where did they come from? One whole. See, one whole can make a multiplicity, but a multiplicity can't make one whole, my brother. Go back. That's the heart of our power as a people. I'm gonna give you another example. And I want to go to Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman grew up in a period, brother, that's worse than it is now. You know that, before the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
This was a woman. A lot of people didn't study. I studied successful people that achieved things against all odds and adversity, because I like to tell people there is no excuse. There is none. Here's a woman that her husband left her, became free, didn't come back. Here's a lady that got smart, and she studied our major race, quote unquote. I'm going to go there for a reason. I'm going to say it that way. She studied the major race, or the dominant race during that time. Okay. That practiced supremacy. Okay. But she never taught. But she observed, my brother. She paid attention and she studied their ways. And she went with them. She worked in the White House. She studied them. She looked at them. But she never revealed. Listen to this. She never revealed her heart. On the Peter King. She never revealed her heart. She never revealed her hand. What we do is the majority know how we gonna react and respond before we do it. Pow! Kill a black man. Where we at in the streets, Mark? He already in control, and they don't see it, because guess what? We are reactive and responsive, emotional people, and we need to change that. Harriet wasn't that way. Harriet sat there and she saw the man getting hung on and for no reason, and scrotums cut off and all the tortures that they went through, but she did not let them know. See, a form of control, team, is when somebody know they can push your button, you do. When you let them know what triggers you and you react and respond, you done gave your power away. We do it all the time. But wouldn't it be funny? They do that and they don't see nobody marching in the street. We up here gathering over here, coming up with a strategy in secret, underground. Nobody knows what we're getting ready to do. Because what? We ain't predictable no more. Are you riding with McKean? We can get our power back. But we got to stop being marching in the street and given our power. Wait, because they're just looking at us a second. Look what you're at.
I heard an example of what you're saying about the Japanese people. The Japanese people were the only people that had an atomic bomb or nuclear weapon, a baby nuclear weapon dropped on them, but not once, but twice. They didn't march in the streets. They did not protest. All they did is just meet in back rooms and meet in basements and started their businesses, small businesses, mid-sized businesses. Became corporations. Now they are the leading country and when it comes to technology.
Come on. Now you know where they learned that from?
They pissed up in the air. They didn't pound their chest. They did not even go to America and say,
no,
can we have some money?
Exactly.
They did their own thing. That's just the
same. And where did they learn that from? And where did they learn it from, King? Do you know who they learned it from? Our black queen sister and ancestor, Harriet. See, some people get the lesson. Some people get the lesson and some people don't. See, there's a lot of things that's hidden in plain sight. I don't know if you ever heard that term. There's a lot of things hidden in plain sight. What do I mean by that? That means that some people that don't have a spiritual eye will just see the appearance. You feel that? But that same man that has that spiritual wisdom and that spiritual eye, he sees what the other people can't see in plain view. See, somebody seeing that spiritual eye say, You see that? It's hidden in plain sight. But we don't realize that reacting and responding is not even what our moon taught. Our moon always said a God never reacts to creation. Oh, my goodness. We got it backwards. We don't have that uncommon knowledge that our ancestors had. He said, when confronted with a challenge, you don't react or respond. Because really, when you think about it, what's reacting and responding? Your damn habit. Hello. And a habit is a program. And a God don't react from a program. He stays free. Come on, man. And ain't nobody can lock you up from that. You can be in jail and still be free. When you have this kind of power, brother, see, when we get away from our root, and I'm going to explain it to you this way. Our root was, before we got divided, was we didn't talk to outside. We didn't tell them our business. We didn't let them invite them into our table and tell them all our secrets. Come on, man. We didn't do that. We didn't do that. We did not do that. But some of us fell off the secret tradition, which was the initiatory tradition. See, our original ancestors, they didn't have that philosophy, each one teach one. Their philosophy was, which one are you teaching? If you teach that mentally ill person something and you put a knife in their hand, they might kill the whole damn family. Come on, brother. It's more to it than each one teach one. You got to make sure the one you're teaching is mentally sane, emotionally stable. You ain't going to put no knife in your baby's hand.
Or really down with you. Because one you might be teaching might be your future enemy.
What? So you know when they got to go through rites and rituals and initiate and to prove themselves worthy, then you are not creating an enemy because you know you have a team player. See, when people talk about we got to unite, it's more to it than that. People talking about we need to start businesses. It's more to that. Let me make the point. Because I'm talking to uncommon knowledge, which you don't hear every day. Okay. But let's say it's 100 people and everybody got their business. Now, who's going to be the damn customer? Then let's look at what business you start. We got 100 shoe stores. Okay, somebody ain't going to make it. We're competing against each other. So that is not thought through. You can't just say start businesses. We got to be strategic. Okay, you're going to open up a fish market. Okay, you're going to open up a chicken shack. Okay, we got to do it where we ain't competing with one another, but working with one another. Come on, man. I don't know how old you are.
That was the nation Israel back in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
I don't know if you remember back in the day. Yeah, back in the day, King, you remember when you can go to the neighbor, you had no cheese or you need some sugar. Your mama said, go next door. You know, you got some sugar, come back over, you got some buttermilk. Look,
see, back then there was community, which means common unity. There was common unity because everybody knew everybody was in the same boat, and everybody wasn't nobody beat nobody down in the same community or killing each other because they knew they was in the same boat. But this is what you got now. This is what you got now. You got some that think because they got a little bit of bread in their pocket, okay, they're better. Now you got classifications of blacks that think I'm defined by my money, I'm defined by my possessions or how much gold
I
have.
And some of them, especially like 10, 15 years ago, I heard some black. I am not like no blacks over there. Like, really?
Mm-hmm. Like they better.
Because you live in a different community? Hey, I'm not against anyone that want to live in different communities, that want to live in some. But don't forget who you are. Don't forget.
Come on,
we're different from other cultures. And I think tend to forget that, especially in the political world, especially in the business world. And we need some of this thinking. I mean, we need workshops just around that to get them to start thinking, oh, I'm a black man. I'm a black boy.
That's true. I'm going to share something with you. I don't know if you know, I do money mastery workshops. That's one of the things I'm keen on is how people prosper. And I tell people that's enough for everybody. And one thing I do, King, within 10 minutes, and I promise you, I say, I'm going to tell you how to be a millionaire in less than 10 minutes. And I do it up front because people act like it's so complicated. I say, no, it's mathematics. You take $1 million and you divide it by 100. Okay? If you divide $1 million by 100, then that tells you you got to have a product you sell for $1,000. If you can sell, you have a product that sells for $1,000 and you sell 100 of them, voila, you made $1 million in a year. Okay, what else do you need to know? See, people act like this stuff is so complex. The problem is we're looking for somebody to give us instead of being the gods and goddesses we are and creating our wealth. I don't need to go to the courthouse and ask the white man for anything to be able to sell. Bro, are you hearing me? I ain't got to go bow down to him or ask him for anything. Are we talking about white supremacy? I don't know nothing that's supreme about a color white. I don't even know why we say it. I don't know nothing supreme about it. If you want to know, the country they following is the one that our Western, what they call Western, came from our ancestors, the most civilized people that had the most successful dynasty ever. Come on.
Right.
Mansa Musa had so much money. The richest black man, Mansa Musa, had so much money they can't count. Today, they said he would be the first trillionaire. But a lot of people don't know who Mansa Musa is. And I studied his principles. And what people do not understand, a principle don't change with time. Technology do, but principles don't. Look, what does it matter if we're back in the day or today? What does it matter? If you got a product, King, I ain't mean to cut you off, but if you got a product, okay, and you sell 500 of them, okay, and you know the price, you know whatever the profit is based on what it costs you and whatever you're selling it for. What does that tell you the main skill you need in business? You need to be able to sell your product. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
So if you got a product, people, you know, talking about Nipsey Hussle. I met the man, good dude, smart dude. The dude was doing stuff that other people wasn't doing. He was smart, man. He hustled. He'd been on the street, and he opened up that third eye, and he started, which is really your original eye. He opened it up, and he started to see the things that's in plain sight that other people didn't see. See, that's what people don't understand. You got to go higher than the common man. You can't look at everything from appearances. You can't. What appearance would tell you a motive that a person got, King? Just by looking at appearances. How you know what his motive is? How you know? How you gonna look at? You can't see it with your eyes.
Right.
You got to start watching his tendency. You know, you may do like I do. You might lay that $100 on your desk and know you laid it there and come back and see if it ain't there. Know you can lose it. Say, okay, somebody took the $100. You know who around?
How would I get black advertisers or black sponsors for this product? How would I try to motivate them or try to get them to have the trust in me because I've been showing a track record for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
every week,
mm-hmm.
putting on these shows. How am I trying to get black advertisers and black sponsorships and reaching out? So mm-hmm. how can I convince them?
Okay, I'm going to help you with that in a way that you ain't never, ever heard. It ain't the way that most people think. You know, most people think, I got to have this reference over here. I got to have, or I got to have so much bagging, or I got to have clout. I got to have loot. Look at the black man who's the engineer that invented that daggone water squirt gun. He didn't have no clout. He was an engineer. I don't know if you know the man I'm talking about. He invented a gun, a squirt gun. And then he mm-hmm. invented a... some kind of, in his basement. Look, he made one call. He didn't even know who he called. Let's look at Damien with his clothing line. He knew he was broke. It's disgusting. He knew LL Cool J. LL Cool J said, look, brother, I'll wear your shirt when I do my rest is history. He ain't had no corporate sponsor. He ain't know nobody but LL Cool J. And the rest is history. Listen, it don't take numbers. How many inventions you know, man, that's come from groups of people? How many people's lives have changed that you know that go to these churches with 500? None. If you look at the people's lives that changed, it was one person or two people that believed in that person. Uh-oh, I don't know if you know what happened this year. Miss USA, boom. Miss America, boom. Miss Universe, I don't know if you know, they all melanated sisters. What done happened, dude? What done happened? Y'all got to pay attention to what's going on. Are you aware of that, King? This year, Miss USA, Miss America, Miss Universe, and Miss Teen USA are all melanated sisters. What happened, King? What's going on?
They always like the way we look. That's why they still lay the beach all day. They always like that.
Let's go deeper. The man that shot the man in South Carolina, that he said his life was threatened, that he shot him in the back, he got 25 years.
Mm.
He got 25, the cop.
Yeah.
If you start to pay attention real close, it may be slow, but I see some things happening. What about all them sisters down in Texas, 19 black women that are on the, so come on, brother. I don't know if you understand what's going on, bro. Those that would be first will be last, and those will be last will be first. I don't know if y'all paying attention. It may not be happening at speed or warp speed, but see, we're becoming the dominant population, people of color. I don't know if you see it happening. I don't know if you see it. Why you think if there's a conspiracy to kill the black male? Why you think? Because our numbers, color, is becoming the majority. We ain't going to be no minority no more. Oh, you're not.
I don't want us to be minority now.
But this is the issue. This is the issue. You got voter suppression.
In this world, they're non-people of color.
That's true. But this is what we have. We have strategies in place to keep us from voting. Okay? 60-70% of our black males or felons can no longer vote in most states. So that them cut out what? That population. See, that it's techniques and tricks they got in place. Okay, here's another. We got voter suppression. Okay, on top of voter suppression, we got voter intimidation. See, these are those propaganda narrative type of things that they're putting out there. And guess who's still controlling the educational system? As long as, and I'm getting back to something that you said, until we revolt against the dominant system that's not an education system, but that's a programming, imitation, and robotic system of teaching us how to be good slaves. Until we revolt and start homeschooling our kids and teaching them economic, financial literacy while they're young, not go to school for 18 years and learn to be a slave and be told to get a job.
Oh, hold on, Dr. B. Anybody that want to press one, anybody want to have a comment or a question, please press one. And I'll bring you right onto the air for Dr. B. Go ahead, Dr. B.
See, this is the thing. Let me tell you something about me. I know you're following me. See, I don't teach anything I ain't already done. That's a practice that I got. So I don't need nobody to try to tell me what works and don't work. If somebody say you made $1 million, yes, I make it. I ain't talking. I made it. So I know what goes into that. And no,
I didn't have a lot of my black people support. No, I did not. And I didn't wait on no black people or anybody else to do what I had to do. See, it's like driving your car. If you want to get licensed, you got to call your mom and dad. No, you got to read that manual, know how it works, pass your permit, and then know how to drive. I didn't need an army. I didn't need an army. It's the same with anything else. I don't buy into that you need an army. Now, check this out. Then I say I'm going to start my school because I see that my brothers and my sisters, I don't want to take this to the grave. I was able to accomplish this. I started being a musician, traveled the world. I've done this, jazz artist, saxophones, wrote for people and all that. But I wasn't waiting on nobody. When you got something that you really believe in, you do it. The people will start coming. That's what I saw. Then, Doc, how you do that, man? People started coming because they saw what I was doing. I ain't go out recruiting. No, bro. If you want to see what I'm doing, then you might have to follow me. I ain't chasing nobody down. I let my example speak. You hear me, King? That's the greatest
right.
teacher. That's the greatest teacher. You know, if you're running after people, you weak. No, God, don't run after people. You want a God, you go to the God and say, my brother, teach me how to go from a man to a God. Okay, you serious? Then roll, because guess what? It's enough for everybody. I ain't got no envy. Hey, you do better than me? Cool. I'm going to come back and say, hey, what did you do different? Maybe you can school me to take it to another level. No envy, no greed, because
right.
the universe got enough. You can't bankrupt no omnipresent universe. That's all places and all. There ain't no way you can bankrupt it. The only way you're starving and fighting and in a stress is because you living from that misidentification that somebody taught you, and you believe you your daggone body and your mind. So you limited, bro. You limited to where your body is, and you limited to where your mind is. Now, let me make that plain so people don't think I'm talking crazy. See, mm-hmm. I know how to sell a product. I know how to sell a product and put it everywhere, but I ain't got to be there. Oh, you didn't hear me. I don't physically got to be there. I know how to make it be there for me. There's technology to make it worldwide. There's technology to use other people and let them make it and let them make money and me make money because I've learned to not think limited by having a body and a mind. Why I gotta be limited to where my body is right now, okay? Who told me that?
Right.
I know I'm a spiritual being. Who told me? But if you buy into that, well, I'm only here. I can only do so much. Nah, people come to me all the time and say, Doc, how you do all this stuff? You invest in real estate, you buy and sell cars. I say, how do you do so little? I turn it back on you. What are you doing with your time doing today? I ain't one of them cordial conversation people that you can call King. Hey, how the web, bro, what's going on, man? What you trying to do? If you ain't trying to do nothing, we ain't going to talk. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
Love you, bro. Hey, cool. But you're not going to take my time because time is money. Time is money. And if you ain't about getting ahead, I ain't trying to be funny, but you messing with my money. I'm about knowing that power. And I tell people sometimes I ain't even black. And I ain't being funny. You know, people, I tell them I'm green. You don't get it. You don't get it.
Green for the money.
Hey, listen. Hey, Nipsey didn't have last name one Hustle for nothing. When I go to the car dealership, I'm going to tell you what's funny. I bought me a new car. The guy asked me, he said, how you going to pay for something? He looked at me because he's looking at the price of the car. Then I knew what was coming next. What do you do? I work. I ain't going to nothing I did. See, that's what they want to do. They always want to know what you do. And see, we so stupid that we tell them. You know, he probably thought, what you into music, this, that, and the other. I said, man, I ain't here for that. I'm here to buy a car. That's irrelevant. Is the car available or whatever, this, that, and the other. He said, well, if you pay cash, man, I'll knock $10. I'll give it at you 20% over dealer cost. I said, well, you got a deal. I'm going to tell you what's funny. He said, how you going to pay for it? I guess he said, I said, no, I got a car. He never seen a black car. You know what a black car is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what a black car is, right?
Mm-mm.
He looked at a black car is a car where you basically almost have unlimited. You can, that black car can get you just about, you can buy a house on a black car.
Okay.
Yeah, black car is basically, meaning I probably could go to a real estate office and buy a couple of properties on the black card because it ain't really no limit. And the bank will stand behind it. When you get to a certain place financially, that's a lot of perks people don't understand. I didn't even understand it until I started getting calls from the bank once my income reached a certain level. You feel what I'm saying? Why are you calling me?
Mm-hmm.
When I had $50,000 in the bank, sit down. I wasn't getting this kind of call. Well, Dr. Bankhead, well, you know, you're one of our. Really? Okay, yeah, I'm your personal banker. If you're needing something. And this woman told me this. She said, you can go buy a car anywhere. You ain't even got to sign the paperwork. Just have them send it to us. I stand behind it. You know why? Because I got more money in the bank than what that car. You see what I'm saying? Then I started saying, it is true why the rich get rich and the poor get poor. Why? Because there are perks and opportunities that become available to you. We don't know nothing. They don't tell us poor people that when you're poor. They don't tell you these things. And see, when you learn that, then you learn what we call money leverage. See, because if I can use the bank's money and buy that car, I can use my money to invest in something else and be made something else. I can buy 3 or 4 foreclosed properties that's tow up, fix them up, paint them up, and turn around and sell them and make $550,000 or $100,000 in a month. People don't know that. And
Dr.
not even
B,
tie my money up.
Dr. B, you have a call.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
0272, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up with you, Dr. B?
What's going on, Kane?
Hey, man, I love every word. I just tuned in the past 10 minutes. And, man, I love everything that you got to say. I say that because when you
appreciate
just said
you.
Something about – you just said something about leveraging the debt. See,
mm-hmm.
credit is for poor people. Credit is for
Come
poor
on,
people.
Man.
But
yeah.
if you know how to leverage it – for example, I just learned how to do credit repair. I started learning it six months ago. And so I learned how to boost credit scores up and stuff like that, and about a community of credit, coming together and get a community trade line.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, if somebody give me $20,000, I'll get a $20,000 loan. I'm not going to go buy no TV. I'm not going to buy no Jordan.
Come on now.
I'm not going to buy. No, I'm going to go and I'm going to leverage the debt by buying something I can make money off of. And once I buy something like a car or something I intend to make money off of, and then I start making money off of it, that's when I service the debt. And
there
once and then I'm gonna pay that money back. I'm not just doing it I'm not paying it back. No, I'm gonna pay that money back. And Chinese people come over here with a line of credit from the banks that they come from, or at least they get it from Wells Fargo or Bank of America. All these people, they come over here with a line of credit and they know about credit. That's why they look down on us. And they be like, we've been over here for 4 weeks, 4 days, 4 years. Y'all been over here for 400 years. And y'all didn't know about this? I don't agree with them. I don't look at us, but I understand.
Right.
I don't agree with them, but I understand
why
they look. And like you said, brother, I'm about to get into this real estate and insurance is what
there
it's about.
There you go.
Real estate
now
and life insurance. Go ahead.
Now that you said that, I'm going to give you a freebie there since you're going into the gear, open your mind up to some possibilities. I own a finance company, by the way. And the reason that I started a finance company.
See, I got to get your number, brother. I got to get your number.
you can have it. I started a finance company because I needed a vehicle, number one, for tax avoidance, not tax evasion. Hello, it's a difference. Hello. That, for one reason, because my income was growing. For two, I learned, you brought in the insurance element in. I want to show you something. Okay, let's go back to that equation. You say you got $20,000 you want to leverage. But you didn't know you can insure money just like you insure your car.
No, see, you're teaching me something.
I got to, because we not smart. Why you think people like Jennifer Lopez got her butt insured for about a fee? Come on, man. A body part. Lord.
Dang.
Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Listen, I'm going to tell you how you can't lose. If you have, let's say $100,000. Okay, the first thing a person thinks is spending. Or, you know, once it's spent, that means to exhaust. The original word for money was currency, which means to circulate. Come on, brother. Circulation is currency. Now, if what goes out comes back to you, check this out. If you insure $100,000 for $300,000 and you lose the $100,000, you file a lost claim. You got $300. You don't have insurance. Come on,
just
brother.
Like the banks do it. Just like the banks do it with FDIC.
Come on. Now, check this out. You got $300, and the law gives you the right to go after the person who defaulted for that other $100,000. So you can collect on their assets and security. You ain't going to lose. You can't lose. That's why I don't understand this bank myth that happened with the bank talking about they went under. And then you remember that when Obama came in, they had to bail them out. You remember that?
And
Let me tell you what I did back in 1982. Because I knew that I wanted to make a difference in my black community. I took a man off the street, and this is documented. I took a man off the street. This man was homeless. He was living in a homeless shelter. And I said, I'm going to work with this guy, and I'm going to help him. Because if I can work with somebody who ain't got nothing, what do the people have to
get? Oh, my God. That's a real talk, brother. That's what.
Okay, so.
Hey,
so
real quick. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Like what I do, I'll go downtown and I'll park my car. And I'll find homeless people that's in their right mind. As long
Come
as they're in their
now.
Right mind, I open up a
you
credit file. I don't have to clean up
Come
the
on.
Even though it ain't nothing wrong with cleaning up people.
Come on.
And I put some AUs on their account. And about 45
yes.
days, I put some primary, some Hutton Chase. So myjewelers.com, and I open up certain primaries for them, and they'll have like an 800, 780 to 800 something credit score in 45 days.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and so, but
now
the homeless people in prison, brothers that just got out of prison, I just repaired a brother
yes.
credit before he got locked up 9 months ago. I repaired it while he was locked up. He got out. He got like a 777 credit score. The lowest is like a 726 with Equifax, but the highest is like a 770. And the brothers just got like a $40,000 loan. And I charge them a 5% fee. You know what I'm saying? Got my little cut or whatever, and that's my hustle. You know what I'm saying?
Come on. Yeah, Kenny, are you on the line, Kenny?
Yes, I am. I just let y'all have
something. But I want to share something with you. You asked me how do things happen. You see, when you're putting the right information out there, what's the name, by the way, brother? I didn't catch it. The one I was the came on the line.
Shaka Zulu.
That's Yaka.
Shaka Zulu.
Oh, brother. Oh, man. Oh, you got the show. You had the show.
Yeah.
But check this out. Just like Kenny, when you putting stuff out there that people know you know what you're talking about, the ones that know, they know what you know. You ain't even got to go into it. Just like, he know I know what I'm talking about. I was dealing with a sister that I'm missing, and she always, you know, she may be dealing with people that suspect. And I told her, I said, you ain't got to see nothing. All you got to do is listen to them talk. If you listen long enough and you ask the right questions, you'll know if they're a fraud or a con. You'll know.
When you say part of the what? Part of the what?
You'll know if they're a fraud or a con just by asking them the right questions.
Yep, you're right.
They ain't going to be.
Right.
Now, let me give you another twist on what you're talking about with that $20,000. If you understand the currency market, Forex market, okay?
Yep, foreign exchange. You're right.
Yes.
You're right.
The Forex market, we're talking about currency. And you understand the fluctuation rate of currency.
Yep.
Let's say between the United States currency and the Japanese
or the yen,
or the baht. Now, the baht right now is trading on the market almost 80% less than the U.S. dollar. Let me share something with you. And it's a freebie here, too.
Yeah.
Because I love seeing my brother prosper. I don't have no problem with it. Check this out. So if I got $100,000 in U.S. currency, do you know what that's equivalent to in the baht, which is 80% less? All I got to do is
Dang,
move that
that's
money.
Like double your money. You almost
Come
doubling
on.
Your
no,
money.
No, double my butt, 80%. Listen, 80% off $100,000, you do the math on a movement, listen, in less than one day. In less than one day, King, you do the math. I ain't got to do it here. You do the math at 80% over $100,000. One day.
And what you said, everything you're talking about. But
we're running out of time. We only got a minute and a half. Dr. Beach, just sum up. Thanks for calling in, Shaq.
Man.
I see you on YouTube tomorrow.
And give me that brother number, too. Give me that brother number.
I'm going to text it to you.
Okay. Nice meeting you, brother.
Hey, nice meeting you, too, man. Appreciate you.
Okay.
Good, Dr. Beach. So sum it up, man. We only got a minute left.
Okay, let me take this minute to thank you, King, for what you do. And I want to say this as far as Black Solutions. Black Solutions now require uncommon knowledge. Not what you read in most of the books, because once time is in the books, everybody done read it. You need to have knowledge that's come from a creative place. A creative place that comes directly from the source, from spirit within you. Because you need to be innovative. We need to stop becoming reactors and responders to what's already out there and come up with our own origination and authentication so we can go from victimization to victorization. And anything that's really great, that's prospering, we got to know the solution is in creativity, not in imitation and duplication of what somebody else is doing. Love you, King. Appreciate you for letting me be on the show.
I love you too, Dr. B. Hey, I got to have you on again in a few months. That's it,
Likewise.
Hold it now!